Today we begin our Lenten sermon series, zeroing in on how God loves. What advice does Jesus have for us as we live in unsteady, confusing, and anxious times? It's important to remember as we go through this series that the audience Jesus is speaking to was also living in unsteady times. They were living under the thumb of the Roman Empire with heavy taxes, unpredictable rules and rulers, and the constant threat of social unrest leading to military violence. Keep that in mind as we hear from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. These two parables are actually part of a trio. We're going to save the third one for next week, in which Jesus tries to illustrate for us the joy of finding what was lost. Luke frames this conversation as a response to the Pharisees who are making a scene about the people Jesus allows to get close. "Ugh," they say, "this guy is hanging out with the worst kind of people." Their underlying argument is that by welcoming sinners and eating with them, Jesus is endorsing whatever bad behavior they may have, undermining the use of social shame as a deterrent, and ultimately just upending all the rules for decorum and decency among the religious leadership. "That's not how it's done," they say. But Jesus doesn't see it that way. In the first parable, he says, say you're a shepherd with 100 sheep. And everyone in the audience immediately goes, "Oh, that's a lot of sheep. I definitely don't have that many." He continues, "Out of 100, one sheep goes missing. What do you do?" This shepherd leaves the rest in the pasture to go and find the one that's missing. When he does, he throws it on his shoulders, carries it home, and rejoices, going so far as to throw a party because what was lost is found. He repeats the parable, this time with a woman and 10 silver coins. These coins would have each been about one day's wages, enough to buy food for the day and keep a roof over your head, and that's about it. So the woman wasn't destitute, but she was not rich either. These 10 coins are her nest egg. So when she loses one of the coins, it is a big deal. She lights a lamp and sweeps every inch of the house until she finds it. And when she does, she too rejoices with her friends and neighbors. If you would do all of that for a single sheep or a single coin, Jesus says, then why are you so mad that I am seeking out the people who are lost? shouldn't you be rejoicing with me? After all, a human life is worth so much more than a single coin or even a wayward sheep, and yet somehow you're okay with saying, we'll just write him off. It's fine. We begin this series with these two parables on purpose, because what Jesus is saying to the established religious order is absolutely foundational for how we learn to live and love like Jesus in a chaotic world. What Jesus is saying to them and to us is this: every single person on this planet is worth looking out for. Every single person on this planet is worth looking out for. But we live in a world that's obsessed with growth, efficiency, speed, productivity as the measure of a human life. If you're not growing, you're dying, they say. If you're not productive, you're rotting on the couch. If you're inefficient, you're wasteful. To quote one of the most ridiculous movies of all time, if you're not first, you're last. And these categories go beyond words. We use these measurements as a society to determine everything from who gets health care and how much, to who gets food and what kinds of food they have access to who is allowed to participate in decision-making about their own lives and livelihoods. We use yardsticks like these to determine who is fully human and who we can afford to write off as damaged products. But for Jesus, there are no throwaway people. There is no one we get to write off and say, not worth the effort. This is good news for us, too, because at no point will Jesus ask you to prove you are worth it before he welcomes you to learn, to listen, to question, to grow. He will not ask for a list of your accomplishments. You will not be subjected to a theology exam. There is no dress code. You are worth it. You are always worth it. One time when I was a brand new baby pastor, fresh out the gate, I was wandering around before church on a summer Sunday, and I noticed a new family visiting for the first time. I went over to introduce myself, and the mom seemed nervous. That's relatively normal, especially when they're not used to me and I show up looking like this. But after I introduced myself, the first thing she said was this: I am so sorry for wearing flip-flops to church. I just put them on the way out the door this morning. I didn't even think. I am so sorry. I told her I didn't even notice, and I reassured her that she was absolutely fine, and if I did not have color-coordinated Chuck Taylors for every liturgical season, I would probably be wearing flip-flops too. But after worship, as I reflected on that moment, I was angry. I wasn't angry at her. Flip-flops are 1,000% fine. I was angry that somewhere along the line, someone in her life told her that her footwear was more important to God, more important to the church than her heart, her seeking, her hopes. And that is not the way of Jesus. Amy Jill Levine is a Jewish New Testament scholar who brings her knowledge of Jewish history and practices to shine a different light on the New Testament. In her book, Short Stories by Jesus, about the parables in Luke, she points out that at a certain point, these metaphors that Jesus uses break down. After all, sheep have no concept of sin. They just wander away occasionally because they're sheep. Coins are inanimate objects, so they cannot lose themselves and they cannot repent. The sheep and the coin are not returning to their rightful places with hat in hand. In fact, she argues that if anyone's at fault in these two parables, it's the shepherd and the woman who are the ones losing track of their stuff. Is she saying that it's God's fault when we get lost? No. We're not sheep, we're not coins, we are people with at least some degree of agency and choice in the decisions we make. But instead, she invites us to re-examine where we place ourselves as individuals and as the church in these stories. What if, she says, what if we put ourselves in the shoes of the shepherd and the woman? Who have we lost? Are we paying enough attention to notice when someone's missing in our life? Are we willing to make the effort and go seek them out and rejoice with those who've been found instead of shaming them? Radical welcome sounds great when it's Jesus climbing through the brush and moving the couch to find precious lost objects. It's harder when radical welcome requires us to go beyond our comfort zone, to be inconvenienced, to care for people we wouldn't otherwise be best friends with, to show up when we would rather stay home, to make the phone call or send a text when we could be curled up watching Netflix instead. Last Friday, I took my new friend from Afghanistan to the pharmacy to pick up some medication. She speaks at least two languages that I know precisely zero of, and she doesn't speak or understand that much English. So communication between us can be a little hit or miss. So imagine my delight when we get to the pharmacy and I see they have a medical interpreter service. It's basically an iPad on a stand, and the pharmacy tech can just push a button that says, "I need an interpreter for this particular language." And it calls up an interpreter who shows up on the screen. Now, this is 1,000 times better than me trying to use Google Translate and whatever hand gestures I can come up with. So when it's our turn, I go up to the counter and I say, "Hey, can we get an interpreter for this language?" It only took two interpreters. But between me, the pharmacy tech, my friend, and the interpreter, it only took the four of us about half an hour to get one prescription. But we did it. She went home with her medicine, and it was worth it. When I drove her home, she invited me in, and she made tea and snacks. And if you've never had Afghan green tea, I highly recommend it. It is so good. I don't even know what's in it, but it is delicious. So for another half hour or so, we sat together on her couch. And between limited English, some charades, and a little bit of Google Translate, we both managed to tell each other a little bit of our stories. Where we came from, how we wound up in Michigan. We showed photos of the people we love the most. There was a lot of giggling and some confused noises and raised eyebrows as we tried and occasionally failed to breach the language barrier. But more than any grand, eloquent speeches, it is moments like these that convince me that this world, in all of its diverse and complicated glory, is worth fighting for. These people are worth fighting for. And beloved people of God, I pray that you too are blessed with people who complicate your life in the best ways. Because in a chaotic world when it is so tempting to circle the wagons and stay inside, to care only about the people who care for us, Jesus calls us to go out into the mess, to put the survival of others beyond our own comfort. Because when we follow Jesus, no one gets left behind. Thanks be to God. Amen.